unrelated to an agenda item, please feel free to come up. If you wouldn't mind just giving your name and your address, that'd be great.
Hey, I'm Jake. I live in Foxborough. The sushi place is amazing. Whoever mentioned that. I am a student at Utah Valley. Is this good?
Yeah.
Okay. I am a student at Utah Valley, and I am taking a ethnographic methods class. I'm studying the culture of the city government, and so I am just asking if I can have you guys' consent, like, take notes on Planning Commission.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for being here, Jake. Appreciate it. Moving on to agenda item number 3, consideration of a preliminary subdivision plan for Sycamore Grove PUD Phase 2 at 3943 South, 850 West. Sycamore Grove North Salt Lake LLC is the applicant, and I'm assuming the applicant is not here.
Yeah, we're going to be done before they get here, probably. They'll have forgotten to show up. Okay, so this is, for those of you that are not familiar with this area, this is in the annexation area that we completed a few years ago. Sycamore Grove subdivision that you see there kind of highlighted in orange is a twin home development that was approved in the county and then it was annexed into the city before they started construction on the development. What happened was we actually have a staff member in my department who also is a member of the Planning Commission in for the county, and she came into work and said, hey, we just were processing this application for a subdivision that's in our annexation area. And I had to call the county and say, you know, your general plan says that when you're doing development in annexation area, you're supposed to have them come talk to us first to see if we can annex it. And they were so far down the process, they were like, yeah, we would love to annex that property, but we're like almost at final plat, so can we just finish that part and then build it in the city? We'll work on the annexation. So they did that. They annexed. It's all addressed on the city address system, not the county address system. And then this property in question for phase two is a almost an acre in size. It's like 0.89 acres, and it's just to the north. The property owner that purchased it, the developer, his name is Ryan Hales, and he just wants to develop it in the same fashion that Sycamore Grove was done, using the same plans. They'll be hiring Brighton to build the buildings. Brighton did the original development. Brighton will be the contractor, not the developer. You're going to use the exact same plans that they have. So this is the layout for it. They'll obtain access from the private road on Sycamore Grove. They've met with the HOA and gotten approval to be phase two and be annexed into their development as far as the HOA and maintenance. So they'll have 6 more residents that will help pay for the private road and the snow plowing and the landscaping and paying HOA dues. So this is what the units look like. This is the landscaping. So they each have a 2-car garage, each has a 2-car driveway, and then there's another 4 parking spaces that are provided for guest parking. This is what they look like. If you've been over to that area, you probably could see some of them, but it is a gated private street, so I don't know if you were able to go down in there. But this property is zoned R17, so that allows 1 and 2 family dwellings. It's a maximum of 8 dwelling units per net acre. When you take out the area that's the common area for the shared driveway, they are entitled to have 6 units under that density. And so they have 3 buildings, each with 2 dwelling units in them. The concept plan was approved administratively by staff in November of last year. So the parking density on this is 4.66 spaces per unit, which far exceeds the required 2.25 per unit. And they'll be required to put in the sidewalk along 850 West. And that's kind of shown on this. We have the old landscaping plan in there. I did get an updated landscaping plan yesterday where they're showing the sidewalk that will be installed on 850 West. It'll be adjacent to the curb. The home is vacant now, and it will be raised from the property along with the pool and all of the other things that are on that property. There'll be no access from 850. It'll all be from the private street. And all of the, currently the single family home that's on that property right now is not occupied, hasn't been occupied for quite some time. And it's addressed on the county addressing system, but all of these will be addressed on the North Salt Lake address system upon recordation of the plat. We have received corrections of all of the red lines that we gave them. I looked through all of them, and it looked like even the engineering ones had been addressed, but I don't speak for the engineer. So she was on vacation at the time of writing the staff report. So that is why there's a condition that she just verify that they have corrected all of the engineering concerns that she had. I think she had a couple comments about the storm drainage and how the pipes were laid out and getting into the storm drain. So they may have to make some tweaks, but I think they've made those, in my opinion. But it is still a condition. So we are recommending, the DRC is recommending approval of this preliminary plat with the conditions of the corrections of minor red lines and verification the engineering red lines have been addressed, and then submission of an updated landscape plan, which they have done. I just don't have it here for you tonight. I don't have it in the slideshow. They need to adjust the grass. There's too much sod. So. Do you have any questions?
Is there any questions from the commission?
Commissioner Marsh, thank you. When this came up during the annexation process, there was a rezone request that was submitted for this parcel in question. And I believe it was for RM7?
Yes.
And that was denied by City Council. If I remember correctly,
yeah, there were
they were basically saying, was it, and it, I don't remember if you even have a positive recommendation from Planning Commission.
I don't remember what the recommendation was, but the when we annexed it in, the zone that it fit, because it had already been approved for the, I think it's,
what Arvin is it? 7.
6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the 18 units that they have there. R17 wouldn't have worked because the density was higher than what was allowed. So RM7 allowed that density. And so when we annexed it, we zoned it RM7. So when we did the big annexation of all of the remainder county area, in that area, Mr. Blundell, who owned the property, had come in and asked for it to be his property to be zoned RM7 along with, so it'd be the same zoning so he could get the same rights. And that was that we had a lot of outcry from the neighbors. They didn't want it to be RM7. And the only difference between an R17 and an RM7 is that they could do more than two units attached. So they could attach four units. The density is exactly the same. They could attach four units, or they could attach, you know, they could do three units together. Or right now in the R17, you can only do a single family or a two family dwelling. And in a RM7, you can do a four-family dwelling, so you could do townhomes.
So with the shared drive reduction, like is that common in every city to remove the shared drive from the lot area calculation for density purposes?
Well, if you were building a road, so yes. And so we're kind of calling that shared driveway is more like a private road, but we're not calling it a private road, just the way it's laid out. But that would be, I mean, technically, if we didn't count it, they probably could get seven units. Mm-hmm. But okay. They're asking for six anyway, so.
That was the only thing that stood out to me was that the density reduction as a result of the private road.
Yeah, we had some issues a few years back when we were doing another development on approval on Main Street, where because of the way the ordinance was written at eight units per acre, then by the time they built a road back in there, the lots didn't meet the minimum lot size because of the, and they didn't meet, you couldn't get the maximum density. So we went ahead and fixed that in our code to say, hey, the density is based on the net density. So if you have to build a private road back in there or a public road, you're going to lose that as far as your density because you need it for the minimum lot sizes anyway. And so we just made it easier to calculate that way and said, and then there's some incentive when they do it that way to, you know, maybe go for the private road because they can make it smaller so they lose less of the acreage that would go towards their density.
Because a private road is smaller than a private driveway?
Right. Yeah, a private road is smaller than a public street.
Than a public road. So you're at...
Our public right-of-ways are 50 feet minimum, and we can do a 26-foot minimum right-of-way width for a private road.
Have we considered dropping that to 20 feet just for minimum fire?
So it's the right-of-way for it. The paved surface can go down to 20 feet, but you have to have a little bit more right-of-way for curb and gutter and sidewalk. And sometimes there's sidewalk on one side or just for utilities, so storm drain utilities and stuff.
Okay.
So they can do 20 feet of pavement. They just, in a 26-foot right-of-way.
The access has to be, or the right-of-way has to be 26.
Right.
Commissioner Jorgensen, Sherry, just a couple questions. It's safe to assume that back when this was the current development was originally approved by the city, that South Davis Fire approved those hammerheads in that configuration. I'm assuming it looks like they're fairly generous in terms of the space that's available. So that's all.
That's all good. That's all good.
And is there any relevant backstory to the particular parcel of land, the single-family residence? I drove by it today, so I'm aware of its current condition. But is there any backstory that's relevant to why it is the way it is?
Why it's not been occupied?
Is it not been occupied for an extended period of time?
I think that the owners had some health problems, and they moved into a different facility or home with some... with their children or something like that.
I don't think it's relevant other than just general interest because I did drive by and look at it. I was interested in the, you know, the fire protection part of that, and then having and the gate was actually open, so hopefully I was within my rights to drive in there and look at that. But I was interested.
If they didn't
chase
you down, you're probably fine.
I was interested in seeing the turnarounds for the fire trucks because I know that's sometimes an issue, and I don't remember what the standards are. But effectively, this is an administrative item, so it comes down to does it meet the code requirements in the city, and I think with the conditions that have been proposed, it would. Is that fair to say?
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you.
Commissioner Mercer, I can speak to the original property where the development went in was the Papadakis property, and it was this large, like they had the house in front and then kind of a private drive that went all the way back, and there was not a lot back there other than he had a bunch of cool old cars, and then when they passed away 10 years ago, ish. That's when the original development went in right there that Sherry's talking about. But that this other parcel was not connected to it.
Yeah. They were not. They were totally two different owners.
If there's no other comments or questions, entertain a motion.
And we do have the applicant here down, the applicant's representative, if you have any questions for...
Any questions for the applicant?
Do you have anything you want to add?
If no further comments or discussion, this is Commissioner Jorgensen. I move that the Planning Commission approve the preliminary plan for Sycamore Grove PUD Phase 2 at 3943 South, 850 West, with the following findings and conditions. Findings 1, the plan is developed in accordance with the intent, standards, and criteria specified in City Code Title 13 and other applicable regulations. 2, the plan conforms to an approved concept plan. 3, the plan creates no substantial financial hardship to the city. 4, the plan creates no substantial environmental consequence which adversely impact upon adjacent properties and the health, safety, or welfare of the inhabitants of the city. Conditions 1, correction of minor red lines. 2, verification by engineering that engineering comments have been addressed. And 3, submission of updated landscape plan reflecting preliminary plan corrections.
Commissioner Jones seconds that.
We've got a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
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 And the motion passes.
Awesome.
Thank you again for being here again.
For our action update, so last week we had the urban design standards were given an update to the city council, and the same survey that you took was sent to the city council. So we'll be very interested to see how their survey results are different from or the same as the as Planning Commission. But I think it went just as well with the city council as it did with you guys when he made his presentation. They seem really excited about that. And then just to give you an update on the general plan, on Valentine's Day, we got draft number 2 from the consultant. It's 190 some odd pages. So staff is reviewing that, make sure that it's a good draft to present to the Planning Commission, but we're expecting it by your second meeting in March to bring it before you for review. And we may take a couple of meetings to do that, just so you have some time to digest it. But I do want to read through it well first before we send it to you. But we're really excited to have it done, and it does look on the surface to be a lot better than it was. So in the original draft we got was a really rough draft. So the consultant had some work to do over the last several months to get it up to par.
Okay, we'll wait to see if Cupid Zero struck or not. Item 5, approval of Planning Commission minutes from February 10th, 2025.
This is Commissioner Jorgensen. I feel the hot burn in your eyes. Anyway, I reviewed the commission meeting minutes, and per always, they look great. So I offer a motion to approve the Planning Commission meeting minutes from the February 10th, 2025 Planning Commission meeting as drafted. Commissioner Kapp, I second.
We've got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 And the motion passes. And we are adjourned.
Once the minutes are approved.